I just wanted to say this morning that my sermon title is going to be The Righteousness of God versus the Righteousness of Man. The Righteousness of God versus the Righteousness of Man. And I will be coming from the 7th chapter of Luke, verses 36 through 50. But before I begin, let me pray. Father, I ask that you would just let me down to the deep, into the word, Lord, and you would just open up the scriptures to me, Lord, and that you would preach to me and preach through me. Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help I know. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, I'm going to be coming from the 7th chapter, verse 36 through 50. And I'm going to read it in its entirety to begin with. And it reads, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered. He said, I suppose that one to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Amen. Amen. When I looked at this portion of scripture, I was looking at something I think that we can easily relate to even today within our church service. There was the Pharisees, and then there was the sinner. And so this Pharisee had invited Jesus to his home, and this sinner found out that Jesus was there, and she pressed through the crowds. And despite the fact that she was being judged and people talked badly about her, she pressed to get to Jesus. Now, this Pharisee was a compassionate man, but he had a problem, and that was that he was filled with self-righteousness. It amazes me sometimes how self-righteousness could cause spiritual blind spots. You know, I was thinking about how this passage of scripture could relate to us today as St. John. And I was, you know, the Lord just put it on my heart and in my mind, is that a pregnant woman came into this church that we didn't know. She was unmarried, pregnant, out of wedlock, we would look at this woman and say that she was a sinner. Or we might be more like Simon. We might not say it, but we would think it inwardly. You see, the pregnant woman shows outwardly that he's a sinner. But do you know that the father of that child could be sitting up in this church and nobody would know the difference? Do you see the hypocrisy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know, I want to tell you something, that God is not a chauvinist.
Wow. Right, right.
Because God sees the heart.
Yes.
And he holds us all accountable. And so you can fool me, mm-hmm. and I can fool you, mm-hmm. but we can't fool God.
Right, right.
This woman was desperate. And she came to the Lord in complete humility. And she loved so much, she brought her most precious possession. And that was her alabaster box. It was filled with a expensive perfume. While Simon was a considerate man, but self-righteous, considered himself better than others, and he says no need for forgiveness. You know, I also know another parable that I think that would coincide with this one. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God hates self-righteousness.
Right, right, right.
We see the same attitudes with the Pharisee. Had he felt he wasn't that bad, while the publican would not even lift up his eyes, but smote on his breast,
right,
recognizing that he was a poor sinner.
Right.
The prostitute recognized her need. She did more than greet Jesus. Simon greeted Jesus. But she did more than greet Jesus. She washed his feet and kissed his feet and dried his feet with the hair on her head. We must do better than acknowledge Jesus.
Yes, right, right.
But we have to exalt him, lift him up,
right,
praise him.
Right.
Not for what he's going to do,
mm-hmm.
but what he's already done.
Already done.
Right. He's already done. When I first turned to God, not knowing which way to turn, I fell to my knees before the altar, and they prayed during the morning worship. I was 20 years old then. And I was praying, and most of my friends at 20 were either dead or in jail. And I can stand before you today and testify that prayer is powerful and is transforming. I take it seriously when we have altar call, because it was when we was having altar call that morning that I came to God, and I've been in church ever since. You know, I know I'm living on borrowed time. I heard a saying that said, when I got what I needed, I realized it was what I wanted all along. If God doesn't give you what you ask for, you ought to be thankful.
Right.
Because it's probably something that would ruin your life.
Right. Right.
Something that you shouldn't have. Something that's not within his will for you.
Right.
Something that would stop you from going to church. You know, if some of us was to win the lottery and win millions of dollars, we might not make it back to church.
Right.
Just being real.
Right.
Just trying to be 100. That's what they say, keep it 100. And we won $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I got things to do today.
Uh-huh.
You know, I hear people say, mm-hmm. if I win the lotto, I'm going to put so much in church.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they win it,
mm-hmm.
it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
The two attitudes illustrated the parable of the two debtors. One debtor owed much, and the other one owed little. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? I just want to say that Simon thought that Jesus were a prophet. He would not be allowing this woman to touch him if he knew what kind of woman this was. He didn't say it. He thought it. It's very important. This is how Jesus answered him. He said there were two debtors that owed this man. One owed little and one owed much. One owed 500 pence and the other one 50. He's answering Simon's thought. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, and he said to him, thou hast rightly judged. He being Jesus says to Simon, thou hast rightly judged. Jesus said to Simon, he said, when I came to your house, you gave me no water to wash my feet. This woman here, she washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. He says, when I entered thine house, thou did not give me a kiss, and this woman continually kissed my feet. And so he said to the woman, thy sins are forgiven. And then the people that sat with Jesus, they all thought in their hearts, who is this that forgives sins? And Jesus didn't answer them directly, but he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. The righteousness of God versus the righteousness of man. Isaiah 64, 6 and 7 says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know, the righteousness of man, our righteousness is such as filthy rags before God. God is a holy God. There was a lawyer that asked Jesus a question, and Jesus said about divorce. And Jesus said to him that, what did Moses say? And they said that a man could write his wife a certificate of divorce. And so he said to him, and which is true, that by the Old Testament and by the laws of Moses, that a man could write his wife a certificate of divorce. But here's where Jesus shows us how our righteousness is such as filthy rags. He said, Moses, because of your hard-heartedness, gave you divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Moses gave you divorce. You know what God gave them? He said, you could divorce if a woman is caught in, and a man is caught in adultery, they can divorce. But what God gave him was if a man and a woman was caught in adultery, he would have stoned them to death.
Mm-hmm.
So you compare the difference between God's law and man's law,
mm-hmm.
how man wrote these laws to make it beneficial to themselves.
Right.
And this is not to not anybody that's divorced, because we know that we are saved by grace. But I just want to compare our thinking to God's thinking. One of the things about God's righteousness because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross is divinely given to man. It's imputed by Christ through his sacrifice on the cross, while our sins were miraculously carried away, whereas we can stand before a holy God as his child. Not as a servant, but as his child. We see that God is forgiving. If we have a repentant heart, but God resists the proud. Simon invited Jesus over, but he wasn't sure if he was a prophet. He said if he were a prophet, he wouldn't know where this woman was that was touching him. And although he found Jesus to be interesting, he had not come to believe in him. He gave him common courtesy versus humble worship. When we enter into his courts and come into his presence, do we greet him with common courtesy? Or do we bow down and worship him? The repentant are humble before God. To repent is to change one's mind or purpose, always involving in a change for the better. The attitude of the repentant woman was a sinner, a prostitute. She demonstrated that what a sinner has to do in coming to Jesus. She sensed a desperate need. She was either convicted of her sin while hearing Jesus before, or came under heavy conviction. She approached Jesus despite all. She knew the public scorn and the gossip about her. The people that come to Christ must come with a broken and contrite heart. When we approach God, we should not approach God with a haughty spirit, feeling like we're better than, or that God needs us. But we must be broken. So if you are broken, and you have a spirit, you could come to God and God will receive you. But if you come thinking I got it all, and that I don't, you know, there's another example in the Bible was when the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, give all that you have and to the poor. And so he had told Jesus, he said, I have kept these commandments. What else must I do? And he told him to sell all that you have and give to the poor. And he left sad because he had great possessions. Or another way to put it is great possessions had him. He was not willing to give to the poor. And some people say that, well, he said he kept the commandments. Well, we could see that he did not keep the commandments, that he was not able to keep the commandments. There was only one that could keep the commandments, and that was Jesus himself. And so what we have come to understand in this whole parable and what we are reading here is that Jesus, that God resists the proud, and that whatever walk of life you come from, God can save you.
Right.
You know, what we have to do is, you know, I've talked to people from time to time, and they have a trouble, and I haven't had this problem myself, I didn't feel forgiven. And what I had to learn to do was forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. So you just have to receive it. You don't have to do nothing to get it. You have to receive it. And so what I had to do was learn how to forgive myself. Because when God said it's done, then it is done. And one of the things that you come to understand when you start to understand the Bible says that Jesus, before the foundation of the world, had already committed to saving man. And then when he said that before the foundation of the world, it was as if it was already done. And that's one of the, I think one of the toughest things for us to do is to realize that we can't save ourselves. Only salvation comes through God. And when we find out that salvation was already complete before the foundation of the world, and we receive it, then we cease from working. We cease from working, and we receive it rather than trying to work for our salvation. Because one of the things that Jesus is saying to all of these people in self-righteousness and working for their salvation, what must I do to be saved? He's saying, the question should be, what must you do for me to be saved? He shows us that we have to put our faith in him. And it's only through him. It says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And so when we can get that understanding right, then we stop worrying about our mistakes and letting the devil beat us up every time we do something wrong. And then we just put our efforts and the time that we spend in worrying and enjoying the salvation that God has so freely given us. Amen. You know, it's difficult to believe that something good is free. But the fact is, it's not, salvation itself is very expensive. But it's free to us because we can never afford it. But salvation costs God his son. It cost God his son when he carried his cross. When he went from judgment hall to judgment hall. When Pilate, not wanting to be guilty of the blood of an innocent man, scourged Jesus. And then on the day of release, he brought him before the crowds and said he wanted to release Jesus. And they asked him between Barabbas and Jesus, which when they won on the day of release, and they cried out for Barabbas. Barabbas, the murderer and the thief, and one that led insurrection. The people cried out for that. They're still crying out for that. And they said, what must I do with this Jesus? And they say, away with him. They didn't want nothing to do with him. And so they made him to carry his own cross down to a hill called Golgotha, where they hung him between two thieves. He stopped dying long enough to save the one thief that asked him, can I be with you this day in paradise? And then he hung his head and died. And they took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, he rose again. He rose again. And you know, one of the things that it's springtime now, and the flowers are blooming, and life, the salmon are swimming upstream, and life is in full blossom, and the bears are coming out of hibernation. But you know what else happened? Jesus rose. It was spring. It was spring, and when Jesus rose, all of life rose up. And then because he rose, you know, I could say that I could face tomorrow because he rose. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.